This is not a good idea, mistress.
Orisser sat on his haunches, watching Vin unpack a large flat box.
Elland thinks it's the only way.
She pulled off the top of the box. The luxurious blue dress lay wrapped within. She pulled it out, noting its comparatively light weight. She walked over to the changing screen and began to disrobe.
And the assault on the walls yesterday?
That was a warning, not a serious attack.
Though apparently it had really unsettled the assembly. Perhaps that had been the point. Clubs could say all he wished about strategy and testing the walls, but from Vin's standpoint, the thing Straff had gained most was even more fear and chaos inside Luthadel. Only a few weeks of being besieged, and the city was already strained near to breaking. Food was terribly expensive, and Elland had been forced to open the city stockpiles. The people were on edge. Some few thought the attack had been a victory for Luthadel, taking it as a good sign that the army had been repelled. Most, however, were simply even more scared than they had been before. But again, Vin was left with a conundrum. How to react facing such an overpowering force? Cower or try to continue with life? Straff had tested the walls, true, but he had maintained the larger part of his army back and in position, should Set have tried to make an opportunistic attack at that time. He'd wanted information, and he'd wanted to intimidate the city.
I still don't know if this meeting is a good idea. The attack aside, Straff is not a man to be trusted. Kelsier had me study all of the major noblemen in the city when I was preparing to become Lord Renault. Straff is deceitful and harsh, even for a human.
Vin removed her trousers, then pulled on the dress's slip. It wasn't as tight as some, and gave her a lot more room to move through the thigh and legs. Orisser's objection was logical. One of the first things she had learned on the street was to avoid situations where it was difficult to flee. Her every instinct rebelled at the idea of walking into Straff's camp. Elland had made his decision, however, and Vin understood that she needed to support the move. Straff wanted to intimidate the entire city, but he really wasn't as threatening as he thought. Not as long as he had to worry about Set. Vin had had enough of intimidation in her life. In a way, Straff's attack on the walls left her feeling even more determined to manipulate him to their own ends. Going into his camp seemed a bit crazy on first impression, but the more she thought about it, the more she realized that it was the only way they were going to get to Straff. He had to see them as weak, had to feel that his bullying tactics had worked. That was the only way they would win. That meant doing something she didn't like. It meant being surrounded, entering the enemy's den. However, if Elland did manage to get out of the camp safely, it would provide a large morale boost for the city. Beyond that, it would make Ham and the rest of the crew more confident in Elland. Nobody would even have questioned the idea of Kelsier entering an enemy camp to negotiate. In fact, they probably would have expected him to come back from the negotiation somehow, having convinced Straff to surrender.
I just need to make sure he comes back out safely.
Vin pulled on the dress.
Straff can display all the muscle he wants. None of it will matter if we're the ones directing his attacks.
She nodded to herself, smoothing her dress. Then she walked out from behind the changing screen, studying herself in the mirror. Though the dressmaker had obviously sewn it to retain a traditional form, it didn't have a completely triangular bell shape, but instead fell a bit straighter down along her thighs. It was cut open near the shoulders, though it had tight sleeves and open cuffs, and the waist bent with her to give her a good range of motion. Vin stretched a bit, jumping, twisting. She was surprised at how light the dress felt and how well she moved in it. Of course, any skirt would hardly be ideal for fighting, but this one would be an enormous improvement over the bulky creation she had worn to the parties a year before.
Well?
What?
What do you think?
Why ask me?
Because I care what you think.
The dress is very nice, mistress. Though, to be honest, I have always found the garments to be a little ridiculous. All of that cloth and color, it doesn't seem very practical.
Yes, I know.
Vin used a pair of sapphire barrettes to pin the sides of her hair back a bit from her face.
But, well, I'd forgotten how much fun these things could be to wear.
I failed to see why that would be, mistress.
That's because you're a man.
Actually, I'm a Chandra.
But you're a boy Chandra.
How do you know that? Gender is not easy to tell in my people, since our forms are fluid.
Vin looked at him, raising an eyebrow. Then she turned back to her jewelry cabinet. She didn't have much, though the crew had outfitted her with a good sampling of jewelry during her days as valet. She had given most of it to Ellen to help fund various projects. She had, however, kept a few of her favorites, as if she'd known she'd someday find her way back into a dress.
I'm just wearing this once. This still isn't me.
She put on a sapphire bracelet. Like her barrettes, it contained no metal. The gemstones were set into a thick hardwood that closed with a wooden twist clasp. The only metal on her body, then, would be her coins, her metal vial, and the single earring, kept, by Kelsier's suggestion, as a bit of metal she could push on in an emergency.
Mistress.
Orisser pulled something out from under her bed with his paw, a sheet of paper.
This fell from the box as you were opening it.
He grabbed it between two of his surprisingly dexterous paw fingers and held it up for her. Vin accepted the paper.
Lady Eir, I made the chest and bodice extra tight to give support, and cut the skirts so they would resist flaring, in case you need to jump. There are slits for metal vials in each of the cuffs, as well as a ripple in the cloth cut to obscure a dagger strapped around each forearm. I hope you find the alterations suitable. Feldo, dressmaker.
She glanced down, noting the cuffs. They were thick and wide, and the way they pointed at the sides made perfect hiding places. Though the sleeves were tight around the upper arms, the forearms were looser, and she could see where the daggers could be strapped.
It seems that he has made dresses for Mistborn before.
Probably.
Vin moved over to her dressing mirror to apply a little makeup and found that several of her makeup pads had dried out.
Guess I haven't done this for a while either.
What time are we leaving, Mistress?
Actually, Orisser, I wasn't planning to bring you. I still intend to keep your cover with the other people in the palace, and I think it would look very suspicious of me to bring my pet dog on this particular trip.
Oh, of course. Good luck then, Mistress.
Vin felt only a tiny stab of disappointment. She'd expected him to object more. She pushed the emotion aside. Why should she fault him? He'd been the one to rightly point out the dangers of going into the camp. Orisser simply lay down, resting head on paws as he watched her continue applying her makeup.
But El, you should at least send us in your own carriage.
Elland shook his head, straightening his jacket as he looked in the mirror.
That would require sending in a coachman, Ham.
Right. Who would be me?
One man won't make a difference in getting us out of that camp. And the fewer people I take with me, the fewer people Ven and I have to worry about.
El,
I appreciate the concern, Ham. But I can do this. If there's one man in this world I can manipulate, it's my father. I'll come out of this with him feeling assured that he has the city in his pocket.
All right.
Oh, one other thing.
Yes?
Would you mind calling me Elland instead of just El?
I suppose that one's easy enough to do.
Elland smiled thankfully.
It's not what Tenwell wanted, but it's a start. We'll worry about the Your Majesties later.
Elland, this just arrived for you.
Doxon held up a sheet of paper.
From the Assembly?
They're not happy about you missing the meeting this evening.
Well, I can't change the appointment with Straff just because they want to meet a day early. Tell them I'll try and visit when I get back.
Doxon nodded, then stepped to the side as Vin walked up to the doorway. She was wearing a dress, a beautiful blue gown that was sleeker than the common courtly fare. Her black hair sparkled with a pair of sapphire barrettes, and she seemed different, more feminine, or rather more confident in her femininity.
How much she's changed since I first met her.
Almost 2 years had passed. Then she had been a youth, albeit one with the life experiences of someone far older. Now she was a woman, a very dangerous woman, but one who still looked up at him with eyes that were just a bit uncertain, just a bit insecure.
Beautiful.
Vin, you're wearing a dress.
What did you expect, Ham? That I would meet with the king of the Northern Dominance in trousers?
Well, actually, yes.
Just because you insist on going about everywhere in casual clothing, Ham, doesn't mean that everyone does. Honestly, don't you get tired of those vests?
They're easy and simple.
And cold. I'm glad I asked for something with sleeves.
Be thankful for the weather. Every chill you suffer will seem far worse to the men out in those armies.
Elland nodded. Winter had technically started. The weather probably wouldn't get bad enough to be more than a mild discomfort. They rarely got snow in the Central Dominance, but the chill night certainly wouldn't improve morale.
Well, let's go. The sooner we get this over with, the better.
Ellen stepped forward, smiling, taking Vin's hands.
I appreciate this, Vin. And you really do look gorgeous. If we weren't marching off to near certain doom, I'd be tempted to command a ball be held tonight just for the opportunity to show you off.
Near certain doom? Is that compelling?
Guess I've been spending too much time with the crew.
He leaned down to kiss her.
Oh, no you don't. It took me the better part of an hour to get this makeup on right. No kissing.
Your Majesty, the carriage has arrived.
Ellen looked at Vin. She nodded.
Let's go.
Sitting inside the carriage Straff had sent for them, Elland could see a solemn group standing on the wall, watching them roll away. The sun was near to setting.
He commands us to come in the evening. We'll have to leave when the mists are out. A crafty way of pointing out how much power he has over us.
It was his father's way. A move, in a way, that was similar to the attack on the walls a day before. To Straff, everything was about posturing. Elland had watched his father at court and had seen him manipulate even obligators. By holding the contract to oversee the Lord Ruler's Atium Mine, Straff Venture had played a game even more dangerous than his fellow noblemen. And he had played that game very well. He hadn't factored in Kelsier throwing chaos into the mix, but who had? Since the collapse, Straff had secured the most stable and most powerful kingdom in the Final Empire. He was a crafty, careful man who knew how to plan for years to get what he wanted. And this was the man Elland had to manipulate.
You look worried.
Vin was across from him in the carriage, sitting in a prim, ladylike posture.
We'll be all right. Straff won't hurt you. Even if things go bad, he won't dare make a martyr of you.
Oh, I'm not worried about my safety.
Because?
Because I have you. You're worth an army, Vin.
This, however, didn't seem to console her.
Come here.
Ellen scooted over and waved her to the seat beside him. She rose and moved across the carriage, but paused, eyeing him.
Makeup.
I'll be careful.
She nodded, sitting and letting him put an arm around her.
Be careful of the hair, too. And your suit coat. Don't get anything on it.
When did you get so fashion conscious?
Ugh, it's the dress. As soon as I put it on, all of Sazed's lessons started coming back to me.
I really do like the dress on you.
Vin shook her head.
What?
This isn't me, Elland. This dress, these mannerisms, they're a lie. No objections? Everyone else thinks I'm speaking nonsense.
I don't know. Changing into my new clothes made me feel different, so what you say makes sense. If wearing dresses feels wrong to you, then you don't have to wear them. I want you to be happy, Vin.
Vin smiled, looking up at him. Then she leaned up and kissed him.
I thought you said none of that.
From you? I'm Mistborn. We're more precise.
Elland smiled, though he couldn't quite feel jovial.
I feel uncomfortable in these clothes sometimes. Everybody expects so much more from me when I wear them. They expect a king.
When I wear a dress, they expect a lady. Then they're disappointed when they find me instead.
Anyone who would feel disappointed to find you is too dense to be of any relevance. I don't want you to be like them, Ben. They're not honest. They don't care. I like you as you are.
Tyndall thinks I can be both, a woman and a Mistborn.
Tyndall is wise. A bit brutal, but wise. You should listen to her.
You just told me you liked me how I am.
I do. But I'd like you however you were, Vin. I love you. The question is, how do you like yourself? Clothing doesn't really change a man, but it changes how others react to him. Tyndall's words. I think the trick is convincing yourself that you deserve the reactions you get. You can wear the court's dresses, Vin, but make them your own. Don't worry that you aren't giving people what they want. Give them who you are, and let that be enough. It was for me.
Vin carefully leaned against him.
All right, enough insecurity for the moment. Let's review. Tell me more about your father's disposition.
He's a perfect imperial nobleman. Ruthless, clever, and infatuated with power. You remember my experience when I was 13?
Vin nodded.
Well, Father was very fond of ska brothels. I think that he liked how strong he felt by taking a girl while knowing that she would be killed for his passion. He keeps several dozen mistresses, and if they don't please him, they get removed. He's the same way with political allies. One didn't ally with House Venture, one agreed to be dominated by House Venture. If you weren't willing to be our slave, then you didn't get to contract with us.
I've known crew leaders like that.
And how did you survive when they turned an eye toward you?
By acting unimportant. By crawling on the ground when they passed, and by never giving them reason to challenge me. Exactly what you're planning to do tonight.
Ellen nodded.
Be careful. Don't let Straff think that you're mocking him.
All right.
And don't promise too much. Act like you're trying to seem tough. Let him think he's bullying you into doing what he wants. He'll enjoy that.
You've had experience with this before, I see.
Too much of it.
Ellen nodded. They'd planned and replanned this meeting. Now he simply had to do what the crew had taught him.
Make Straff think we're weak. Imply we'll give him the city, but only if he helps us against Set first.
Outside the window, Ellen could see that they were approaching Straff's army.
Where did Father learn to administrate a force like this?
Ellen had hoped, perhaps, that his father's lack of military experience would translate into a poorly run army. Yet the tents were arranged in a careful pattern, and the soldiers wore neat uniforms. Vin moved over to her window, looking out with avid eyes, showing far more interest than an imperial noblewoman would have dared.
Look.
What?
Obligator.
Ellen looked over her shoulder, spotting the former imperial priest directing a line of soldiers outside a tent.
So that's it. He's using obligators to administrate.
It makes sense. They'd know how to manage large groups of people.
And how to supply them. Yes, it's a good idea, but it's still surprising. It implies that he still needs obligators, and that he's still subject to the Lord Ruler's authority. Most of the other kings threw off the obligators as soon as they could.
I thought you said your father likes being in power.
He does. But he also likes powerful tools. He always keeps a chondra, and he has a history of associating with dangerous allomancers. He believes that he can control them, and he probably believes the same thing about the obligators.
The carriage slowed, then stopped beside a large tent. Straff Venture emerged a moment later. Ellen's father had always been a large man, firm of figure with a commanding posture. The new beard only heightened the effect. He wore a sharp, well-cut suit, just like the suits he had tried to get Ellen to wear as a boy. That was when Ellen had begun wearing his clothing disheveled. The buttons undone, the jackets too large, anything to separate him from his father. Ellen's defiance had never been meaningful, however. He had annoyed Straff, pulling small stunts and acting foolish when he knew he could get away with it. None of it had mattered. Not until that final night. Luthadel in flames, the Ska Rebellion running out of control, threatening to bring down the entire city. A night of chaos and destruction, with Vin trapped somewhere within it. Then Ellen had stood up to Straff Venture.
I'm not the same boy you pushed around, Father.
Vin squeezed his arm and Ellen climbed out of the carriage. Straff waited quietly, a strange look on his face as Ellen raised a hand to help Vin down.
You came.
You seem surprised, Father.
I see that you're just as big an idiot as ever, boy. You're in my power now. I could have you killed with a bare wave of my hand.
I've always been in your power, Father. You could have had me killed months ago, could have taken my city away at a bare whim. I don't see how my coming here changes anything. We came for dinner. I had hoped to give you a chance to meet Ven and had hoped that we might discuss certain issues of particular import to you.
Straff frowned.
Go and confirm with my chef that there will be three for dinner. That girl's your mistborn, then?
Yes, Father.
Cute little thing. Tell her to stop soothing my emotions.
Ven flushed. Straff nodded toward the tent. Ellen led Vin forward, though she glanced over her shoulder, obviously not liking the idea of exposing her back to Straff. The tent chamber was what Ellen would have expected of his father, stuffed with pillows and rich furniture, very little of which Straff would actually use. Straff furnished to suggest his power. Like the massive keeps of Luthadel, a nobleman's surroundings were an expression of how important he was. Vin waited quietly, tensely, at Ellen's side in the center of the room.
He's good. I was as subtle as I can manage, and he still noticed my touch.
He's also a Ten-Eye, so he's probably listening to us right now.
Ellen looked toward the door. Straff walked in a few moments later, giving no indication as to whether he had heard Vin or not. A group of servants entered a few moments later, carrying a large dining table. The servants were Ska, Imperial Ska, after the old tradition. They were ragged, their clothing made of torn smocks, and showed bruises from a recent beating.
Why the reaction, girl? Oh, that's right. You're Ska, aren't you? Pretty dress, notwithstanding. Ellen is very kind. I wouldn't let you wear something like that.
Vin shot Straff a look, but pulled a little closer to Ellen, grabbing his arm. Ellen frowned, glancing down, and caught just a hint of a sly smile on her lips.
Breeze told me that Vin is more subtle with her allomancy than most soothers. Father's good, but for him to pick out her touch? She let him, of course.
I hope none of them are relatives of yours. They haven't been very diligent lately. I might have to execute a few.
I'm not Ska anymore. I'm a noblewoman.
Servants began to bring in a feast that was impressive, considering the circumstances. As they waited, Straff turned to an aide.
Send in Hozel, and tell her to be quick.
He seems less reserved than I remember. Why the beard, Father? Last I knew, those weren't in fashion.
I set the fashion now, boy. Sit.
Vin waited respectfully, Ellen noticed, until Ellen was seated before taking her place. She managed to maintain an air of half-jumpiness.
Now, tell me why you're here.
I thought it was obvious, Father. I'm here to discuss our alliance.
Alliance? We both just agreed that your life is mine. I don't see a need to ally with you.
Perhaps, but there are other factors at play here. I assume that you weren't expecting Set's arrival?
Set is of little concern.
Straff turned his attention to the meal. Vin wrinkled her nose, though Ellen couldn't tell if that was part of her act or not. Ellen cut his steak.
A man with an army nearly as large as your own is hardly of little concern, Father.
He'll be of no trouble to me once I have the city walls. You'll turn those over to me as part of our alliance, I assume.
And invite Set to attack the city? Yes. Together you and I could hold against him. But why go on the defensive? Why let him weaken our fortifications and possibly just continue this siege until both of our armies are starving? We need to attack him, Father.
You think I need your help to do so?
You do, if you want to beat him with any measure of assured success. We can take him easily together, but never alone. We need each other. Let's attack. You leading your armies, me leading mine.
Why are you so eager?
Because I want to prove something. Look, we both know you're going to take Luthadel from me. But if we ride together against Set first, it will look like I wanted to ally with you all along. I'll be able to give you the city without looking like a complete buffoon. I can spin it that I brought in my father to help us against the army I knew was coming. I turn the city over to you and then become your heir again. We both get what we want, but only once Set is dead.
Ellen could see that his words were having an effect.
Yes. Think that I'm just the same boy you left behind. Eccentric, eager to resist you for silly reasons. And saving face is a very venture thing to do.
No, that's not how we're going to do this, boy. I'll decide when, or even if, I attack Set.
That should have worked.
Ellen studied Straff, trying to judge what was wrong. There was a faint hesitance about his father.
I need more information.
He glanced to his side, to where Vin sat, spinning something lightly in her hand, her fork. She met his eyes, then tapped it lightly.
Metal. Good idea.
He looked over at Straff.
You came for the Atium. You don't have to conquer my city to get it.
Why haven't you spent it?
Nothing brings sharks faster than fresh blood, Father. Spending large amounts of Atium would have only indicated for certain that I had it. A bad idea, considering the trouble we took to squelch those rumors.
There was a sudden motion at the front of the tent, and soon a flustered young girl entered. She wore a ball gown, red, and had her black hair pulled back into a long, flowing tail. She was perhaps 15.
Hozel.
Straff pointed to the chair next to him. The girl nodded obediently, scurrying forward to sit beside Straff. She was done up in makeup, and the dress was low-cut. Elland had little doubt as to her relationship with Straff. Straff smiled and chewed his food, calm and gentlemanly. The girl looked a bit like Vin. Same almond face, similar dark hair, same fine features and thin build. It was a statement. I can get one just like yours, only younger and prettier. More posturing. It was that moment, that smirk in Straff's eyes, which reminded Elland more than ever why he hated his father.
Perhaps we can make a deal, boy. Deliver the adium to me and I'll deal with Set.
Getting it to you will take time.
Why? Adium is light.
Well, there's a lot of it.
Not so much you couldn't pack it on a cart and send it out.
It's more complicated than that.
I don't think it is. You just don't want to give it to me.
We don't have it.
Straff turned.
We never found it. Kelsier overthrew the Lord Ruler just so he could get that atium. But we never could find out where the metal was. That probably wasn't ever in the city.
Wasn't expecting that.
So you really have nothing at all to offer me.
I need to act weak. Need him to think he can take the city at any time, but also think it isn't worth taking right now. If Straff thinks we don't have the atium, then he'll be a lot less likely to risk attacking the city. Less gain. That's why Vin said what she did. Vin doesn't know what she's talking about. I've kept the atium hidden, even from her. I'm sure we can arrange something, Father.
No, you really don't have it. Zane said, but well, I didn't believe.
Straff shook his head, turning back toward his meal. The girl at his side didn't eat. She sat quietly, like the ornament she was expected to be. Straff took a long drink of his wine. He looked at his child mistress.
Leave us.
She immediately did as commanded.
You too.
Vin stiffened slightly. She looked toward Elland.
It's all right.
She paused, then nodded.
I'll wait just outside.